We come in our Bible study to the 16th chapter of the book of Exodus, but we finish at commence at verse 27 of chapter 15, and then we'll move on to chapter 16. We finished there, we were drawing to a close last Lord's Day, in the last verse of chapter 15, and now we're moving into the 16th chapter. But let's just follow the reading of God's Word, verse number 27 of chapter 15. And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them, whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt, and in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be, when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, Say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as a hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather it of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. Amen. And we know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and his infallible word for his name's sake. Amen. You know, it's lovely to get a rest. I'm sure you feel that too. Whenever you just have the opportunity of getting rest, the scripture says, Come ye apart and rest a while. The children of Israel had been through much. They've been through a difficult experience there, having come through the Red Sea, and then they come to the bitter waters of Marah, and now they come to Elim. And there are the 10 pools and the 70 trees, under which they can find rest and also refreshment with the water. And there they are welcome to that rest. And of course, I'm sure, just like Me, at times, you just say, I wish I could stay longer. But friends, it didn't stay long there, because that place of refreshment was but a prelude until they came to the moment of moving on again, because this world's not our home. We're just passing through. And so the children of Israel have not arrived where God wanted them to be. They'd just taken the next part of the journey before they moved on, and they went with the Lord by faith. And so we find when you come after Elam, after the 12 pools of or wells of water and the 70 palm trees under which they found a time of refreshment, it says in chapter 16, and they took their journey. So they have to go again. On they go. And so they make their journey from Elam. And all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin. Now, of course, as I said, they couldn't stay there. I'm sure you'd love to stay at Elam, the place of refreshment, that you don't have to move anymore. You don't have to work anymore. It's just a place of rest and refreshment. But that's not life. Life's journey, it's a moving on. And we have to move on with the Lord. And so we find here they're moving on with God. Now, where do they go to? Now, the Bible says here that they came onto the wilderness of Sin. But in actual fact, they just didn't arrive there. They had a part of the journey to do. Where did they actually go when they left Elam? Now, we don't find the actual secret here in Exodus until they arrive at the wilderness. But in between Elam and the wilderness, what did the Lord do? You know, the Lord's good to His people. The Lord sees His people through and brings His people through. And you get the answer what happens there in the next part of the journey in the book of, keep your finger there in Exodus, we'll be back in a moment, but turn to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 33. And this is what the Bible says in Numbers chapter 33. And if we go to the verse number 10, verse number 9, and they moved from Marah and came unto Elam. And in Elam were 12 fountains of waters, and 70 palm trees, and they pitched there, right? And they removed from Elam and encamped by the Red Sea. And they removed from the Red Sea and encamped in the wilderness of Sin. And so what the Lord did was, on the way into the wilderness, what the Lord did was this, because they've been through a hard experience, they had been at the waters, the bitter waters of Marah, and they sat down tired and looking for refreshment. And you know what the Lord did? He took them alongside the Red Sea again. Do you know what the Lord was doing? The Lord was reminding them about the great victory they had. The Lord brought them back to the place, listen, because they're facing a wilderness experience now. They're going out into the wilderness. But before they go out into the wilderness, He takes them back to the place of victory. He takes them back to the place of encouragement before they come to the Red Sea. Why doesn't God look after His people well? Because He knows they're going to face more trouble. They're going to face a trial of their faith. And Moses' faith is going to be tested. And their faith is going to be tested. Because every step they're going to take is a time of testing. But they're going with God. And so we find that they come alongside the Red Sea. And I can see them looking at the Red Sea. And I'm sure Moses said to them, do you remember what happened here? Do you remember how God gave us a mighty victory here? Do you remember the enemy was approaching and everybody was saying everything was lost and there was no hope and everything was gone and the hopeless people were there in their multitude and God opened up a way. God opened up a way of deliverance. And their eyes were not upon man, their eyes were upon the Lord. And once again, before they went into the wilderness, God gave them another look. That's what I did for thee. My, look and consider the blessing and the power of your deliverance through the Red Sea when everything was hopeless. God stepped in. Friend, let me tell you, people today, they're crying out, everything's hopeless. Where's God in the midst of all of this? Where's their Lord? I'll tell you where He is. He's on the throne. God's on the throne today, and you be willing to go even into the wilderness when God takes you there. Be willing to go. We sing the hymn, it's so easy to sing. Boy, it's so different to do. Where He may lead me, I will go. Boy, you say, yes, Lord, provided it's the Garden of Eden. Provided, Lord, it's the roses of the garden. But Lord, don't take me to the wilderness. But friend, you've got to be willing to go with God no matter where it is. You must be willing to do what God wants you to do, because God knew that every step that these children of Israel were going to take after they had left Elam, after they went along the Red Sea, they were now making their way out into the wilderness. Remember that? That dark wilderness, that desolate wilderness, that place of death. That's where they were taken. And so they were about to go out into the wilderness, but before they went, God took them back to the place of blessing, reminding them of the blessings of the Lord, reminding them of the power of God, reminding of them the victory that God gives His people. Friend, God's going to take them to Canaan, but they're going to have to fight a battle before they get there. And when they get there, there'll be battles to be fought. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. Friend, we're in enemy territory today. Don't you ever think that this is heaven, this is Canaan. Friend, listen, this is not our home. We haven't arrived here. We're passing through here. But glory to God, we'll arrive home someday. And so they were going to take their steps out into a place of isolation. A place out into that awful wilderness where their isolation would be absolutely complete. And here, between 2 and 3 million people, Moses was going to lead them out into that howling wasteland. But God would manifest His power there. And so God gives them the backcloth of the darkness. Notice what happened here. Let's go to verse 1 again. And they took their journey from Elam, and all the congregation of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after the departing out of the land of Egypt. Now, why would the Holy Ghost say the 15th day of the second month? What has that got to do? Friend, let me tell you, there is nothing that is written by the Holy Spirit in the Word of God that's insignificant. Because numbers in the Bible are important. It was the 15th day of the second month. Now, what is 2? 2 is the number of witness. 2 is the number in the Bible, it's the number of testimony. The number of witness. The number 15 is made up of 5 and 3. 5 is the number of grace. And 3, friend, it is the number of manifestation. And when you bring up all of that together, God was now to give unto Israel a witness, a testimony of the manifestation of His grace. If ever God was going to manifest His grace and show His grace in a mighty way and testify it to the children of Israel, He was going to do it here in the wilderness. It was a manifestation. It was a witness. It was a testimony of the manifestation of the grace of God. And so, in order to do that, in order to manifest this in a mighty way, friend, you know what God did? God gave us this dark backcloth. He's taken them to the backcloth of the wilderness of sin. Now, Romans chapter 5, verse 21 says, "Where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound." And so with the backcloth of the wilderness of sin, God is going to manifest and testify and witness unto His people the manifestation of His grace, that God's grace is sufficient for thee. And friend, it is. The grace of God is sufficient. Not will be. The grace of God is always present tense. Is sufficient for thee. And I don't care what situation I face in my life. Listen, God says, my grace is sufficient for thee. I don't care how dark the day. I don't care how lonely the testing. I don't care how high the mountain. I don't care how low the valley is, my friend. My grace, says God, is sufficient for thee. And friend, with a backcloth of the wilderness of sin, God says, listen, I will manifest my grace. My grace to bring you through. And friend, God, I don't know the circumstance in your life today that perhaps maybe you say, preacher, I need God's grace to come through this. Listen, friend, it's there for you. It's there for you. Claim by faith. Reach out the hand of faith and claim the grace of God, because God's grace will bring you through. But you know, there's lessons to be learned here. First thing I see here whenever God is going to manifest His grace. Go to verse number 2. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Children of Israel said unto them, Would to God that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Here, friend, listen. The first point I want us to see this morning is the murmuring people. The murmuring people. You know, here were the very people that God had spared in the land of Egypt. God spared them. God spared them the plagues. And here were the very people that God had brought out of bondage. And here were the very people that God had brought through the Red Sea. And they walked upon dry land. And here were the very people, friend, that God had guided by the pillar of the cloud and the pillar of fire by day and night. Here were the very people that had witnessed the bitter waters turned sweet. Here were the very people that had sat down by the 12 fountains. And refreshed their souls there. Here were the very people that sat under the 70 palm trees and were able to refresh themselves from the heat. And yet what are they doing? After all God has done for them, after all the blessing God has given them, what's the first thing they do? Murmur. Complain. Murmur and complain. In rebellion against God. And friend, let me tell you, the Holy Ghost has put us here because, listen, we sing, Count Your Many Blessings, name them one. Everyone in this house of God this morning, and especially the children of the Lord, I tell you, you are blessed. You are blessed. God has been good to you. God has given you salvation. He has given you eternal life. He has blessed your soul. And maybe He has given you a family. And He has given you a wife. And He has given you children. And if you were to sit back this morning and really think about it, God has blessed you. And with all the blessings, listen, the first trial or the first situation comes into your life, what are you doing, God? You just murmur. And you complain in your heart. Notice, first of all, the constancy of their murmuring. Because go back to chapter 15. It says in chapter 15, verse 23, And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, What shall we drink? And here we find that we're faced now, it's not that they're having anything to drink anymore. Now they have no food. And so once again, the very first thing they do, it seems to be, and the children of Israel, friend, it seems to be an addiction. It seems to be that's the only thing they can do. Whenever a trial appears, whenever a troubled situation arises, the very first thing to do, it's nearly the natural habit of them. You read the passage of God's Word. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We read it this morning. The very first thing they did, they murmured against God. They murmured. Friend, be honest before God, murmuring's a nasty habit. And I tell you, we need to overcome such a spirit, because if we don't overcome such a spirit, it will overcome us. The spirit of murmuring. The constancy. It seemed to be they went back to it again and again and again. They seemed to not get away from the spirit of murmuring. But notice something else, friend. Notice the contagiousness of their murmuring. Go to verse number 2. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured. You see, it spread. It's so contagious, it's like a disease. It spreads. And friend, you let a murmurer, you let a mutterer enter into a scene and come with a spirit of a grumbling spirit. And I'll tell you this, it will spread like a disease. They will try to spread it. I was reading about this and studying it and said this, we need to be vaccinated against it. This disease. We need to be vaccinated against it. And friend, I'll tell you this, the daily injection that you and I need against this disease is the Word of God. The Word of God. Because otherwise, If you and I are not vaccinated against that spirit of murmuring and that spirit of complaining and that spirit of bitterness, I tell you this, it will affect others. We will be sour. We will be disagreeable. And we'll be unhappy. We'll be the most miserable people that walk God's earth. And yet, we sing, the children of the Lord have a right to shout and sing. It's a contradiction. But it's contagious. Not only the constancy of their murmuring, the contagiousness of the murmuring, but notice thirdly, the cruelty of their murmuring. Oh, don't you think you don't affect somebody, friend? Oh, you do. It says in verse number 2 and 3, let's read it. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto Moses and Aaron, them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Friend, what a charge. What cruelty. What cruelty. Let's be honest. Did it hurt Moses? Certainly it did. It did. He was human. It was the cruelty of it because it was totally mean. It was totally unkind. Here we find the sharp accusation against Moses and against Aaron. Ye brought us into this place to kill us. And all Moses was doing was leading the children of Israel as God directed them. Oh, it is so easy to say things, isn't it? It's so easy to speak with our tongues, friend. And we feel that we satisfy ourselves and satisfy the flesh. But the hurt that we can cause, hurt, says that wounded in the house of his friends. Here's the cruelty of their murmuring. They murmured against Moses and they murmured against Aaron. But friend, there's something else about their murmuring. It's the crookedness of it. Because let me be honest, it was based on a lie. It was based on a lie. This was not the truth. They were painting, honestly, they were painting a false picture. Listen, if life had been so good in the land of Egypt, let me ask you a question. If life had been so wonderful in the land of Egypt, why did they want to leave it? God said, I have seen their affliction. God said, listen, I've heard their cry. And they were crying, they were longing to get out of Egypt. And now they're painting Egypt. Listen, would to God we had stayed there. By the flesh pots. And when we sat down at the flesh pots and we did eat bread to the food. See that? But it was a lie. And friend, no lie is of the truth. Who did they think they were kidding? You see, in the heat of their murmuring, they didn't care what they said. They didn't care who they hurt. There was no grounds to believe. Listen, I read the Word of God there in the book of Acts. There is no grounds, there are no grounds whatsoever to believe that that was a true picture of what the land of Egypt was for them. When we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full, Egypt wasn't a nice place. Egypt wasn't a lovely place for them. It was a place where they cried. It was a place where they were beaten by their masters. It was a place that they were afflicted. Then why did they say this? I'll tell you. Matthew Henry, in commenting this, said this. A discontented spirit magnifies what is past, vilifies what is present, without regard to the truth or without regard to reason. You see, they don't care anymore. The corruptness of their murmuring But there's another thing. There's the carnality of their murmuring. Because do you notice what they said, Fred? Do you notice what they said? Go back to verse 2. And the whole congregation of children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. Listen. They dared to bring God's name into it. They tried to bring God's name in, as if God was in what they were doing. Would to God. Which sounded spiritual. Would to God that we had died by the hand of the Lord. They brought God into it. They brought the Lord into it. But friend, listen, God wasn't in this. And God wasn't of this. Just keep your hand there and I'll show you that they weren't. God wasn't in it. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 10 it says this, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed, listen, by the destroyer. They were destroyed by the destroyer. The carnality of it. They used the name of God to speak against Moses, and yet all that God, Moses was doing what God told him. These murmuring children, of course, had no solution to the problem. They were facing with a problem here. Do you know what their answer was? Let me show you what their answer was. Turn to the book of Numbers chapter 14. This was their answer. Oh, they murmured against Moses, complained against Moses. But this was their answer in their murmuring. Numbers chapter 14. And go to verse number 4. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Let's go back to Egypt. That was their answer. Let's go back to Egypt. My friend, that wasn't of God. That was carnality. That was the flesh. There was no such thing as suggesting, let's pray about this. Let's ask God about it. Let's seek God's help here. But the Bible says that as they were taken up with their murmuring, the children of Israel, as they murmured against God's child, they said, listen, let us make a captain. Let us get one of ourselves. Let's just dismiss God's man. Forget about God's man. Let's just get one of ourselves. Notice it wasn't, let's get God's man. No. God's man was not in this. But let's make us a captain. So the flesh, friend. Totally the flesh. Let us make us a captain and let's go back to Egypt. Was that the answer? No, friend. It wasn't let's go on with God. No. Let's go back to Egypt. In other words, let's rely on the flesh. Let's rely on the flesh. This wasn't honoring God, friend. They didn't care about honoring God. All they cared about was hurting Moses and Aaron. And to be honest, it's very easy to be negative. But negativity never solved any problem. But the Word of God tells us here that the destroyer destroyed them. And then let's look at one last thing. Let's look at the condemnation of their murmuring. Go back to the book of Exodus chapter 16. Go to verse 7. And in the morning, then you shall see the glory of the Lord. For God heareth, that's He, that's God, heareth your murmurings against the Lord. He says, what are we that you murmur against us? Listen, Moses says, listen, I don't count. Who am I? Who's Aaron? We're nothing. We're simply doing what God tells us to do. We're simply doing what God has shown us to do. Verse 8. And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are ye? What are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but they're against the Lord. And Moses was the brunt of their murmuring. But what he did that day was simply this, friend, and be very careful in this. Moses put his finger upon something deeper. There was a deeper problem. Because your murmurings are not against us, it's against the Lord. It's a spiritual problem. It's a spiritual problem. And therefore, we have to be very careful. You see, they didn't like the way that Moses was leading them, friend. They didn't want the wilderness. Listen, they wanted an easier path. This wasn't Moses' way. This was God's way. Maybe you want an easier path. Maybe you think there's another road, friend. And you think that this shouldn't be the wilderness. Why take them into the wilderness of sin? I want to tell you, God brought them out there into that wilderness. They were isolated. They were brought alone because they were to walk the walk of faith where they had no one else to rely upon, nobody else to turn to. There was no other Savior. They had to turn to God and to God alone. God robbed them of everything else. And the back cloth of the wilderness of sin would manifest the grace of God in a mighty and in a wonderful way. Yes, the murmuring people. But notice very quickly in this with us, I close, the manna provided. You know, in response to the murmuring of the hearts of the people, listen, what did God do? God send them fire from heaven? Did he? Did God send brimstone from heaven? Say, listen, I'll teach them. No, friend, he didn't. He did send something from heaven, but it wasn't fire. He sent them manna. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? And you see, friend, let me tell you. The Bible is a wonderful book of instructions. It is so easy for us to answer flesh with flesh. That's an easy thing. It's so easy for the old man to get up on me as well as to get up on you. And when somebody hurts you as they hurt Moses, the old man to get up and say, listen, well, if they try to destroy me, I'll destroy him. Or if she tries to hurt me, I'll hurt her. Friend, then you walk the way of the flesh too, instead of the path of the Spirit. And instead of God raining fire from heaven, instead of God raining brimstone from heaven upon his children, God rained manna. Manna from heaven. God gave them food. He furnished a table for them in the wilderness. Next Lord day we'll look at what the manna is. And because I tell you, God is so good to his children. The purpose of the manna was this. God was going to preserve them from death. God would preserve them. My day said, listen, ye shall, verse number 3, ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. God wasn't going to kill them. Yes, God was testing them. God was teaching them. God wasn't going to kill them. God was going to bless them. And God was going to preserve them. But not only was there preservation, there was reconciliation. Because in verse number 9 it says, and Moses spake unto Aaron, say ye unto the congregation of the children, come near before the Lord. God's going to bring them closer to him. Come on, come near. And I believe that in the testings of the Lord, friend, I believe in the trials that the Lord allows you and I to face, that God is not only going to preserve us in the midst of it, not only will there be preservation, but praise God, I believe there will be reconciliation. That God wants you to be drawn closer to him. God wants you just to draw near to him. And when we draw nigh to him, praise God, he draws nigh to us. Ye are unsaved in the service this morning. Ye who sometimes were afar off are brought nigh by the blood of Jesus. You need to be brought near to God. You need to know the sweet presence of the Lord and the sweet salvation of the Lord, but you've got to come to Him, come near. You've got to come and call upon Him and trust in Him. There's preservation, there's reconciliation, but praise God, before it was finished, there was going to be glorification. Glorification. Because it says in verse number 7, in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord. Verse 10, and it came to pass as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked towards the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. God was glorified. And I believe that God's glorified in our preservation. I believe that God is glorified in our reconciliation. And I believe that when our hearts get right with God, then God is glorified in your life and mine. The people murmured the promised manna. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us this day to count our blessings. Lord, we sang this morning, be glad in the Lord and rejoice. And Lord, we have so much to thank Thee for. My Jesus hath done all things well. Help us this day, Lord, to just look back over our lives and say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And then we can look with confidence for the future. And Lord, we know that You have promised us grace for every day. Grace for every trial. Grace for every mile. He'll give me more grace. And He'll give me new grace that I've never known before. Lord, we sang this morning, search me, O God, and know my heart. And O God, I pray You'll search my heart out. And search the heart out of every one of Your children today, that we might not miss the blessing, that we might not miss the glory of the Lord, but that God's glory will fill the house. In Jesus' name.